Acts chapter number 11. Book of Acts chapter number 11. And we're looking at some churches now. We're doing a closer look at some of the churches that we've surveyed in the past. And our interest is that we're looking at the strengths and weaknesses of these churches. In order for us to avoid the weaknesses, we have to know what they are. And in order for us to gain the strength, we need to know what they are. Okay? And the Bible is the best book, the blueprint of God concerning the churches. So if you're interested in planting a church or starting a church, the best textbook is the Bible, and particularly the book of Acts, and some of the pastoral epistles as well. But Acts is really a good textbook showing us, you know, the marks of a church, the strengths and weaknesses of a church, and that kind of stuff. So last week we saw the church at Jerusalem, how it started in Galilee and then developed in Jerusalem and then was commissioned by the Lord and empowered by the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2. And the strength of that church, of course, being unity and prayer and other things in that church. We also, we didn't cover this, but I wanted to show you that here's the church at Jerusalem. This is Jerusalem over here. And before we talk about Antioch today, just real quick, there's churches all over Israel. There was a church in Damascus. Don't forget, that's the church where Paul joined that church after he got saved. He was baptized into the assembly of the church at Damascus. And then, of course, as back when Paul was persecuting the church, they planted other churches. Philip planted a church in Samaria. Peter helped establish a work in Lydda and Joppa. And Cornelius, the Gentile, was in Caesarea Maritima. Caesarea over here, okay? And then there's Tyre or Phinehas, Cyprus over here. Christians scattered everywhere, you see. And then we find in Acts chapter 11, verse number 19, Acts 11, 19, Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen, you remember Stephen was the third martyr of the New Testament. Who's the first martyr? John the Baptist. He got his head cut off. Who's the second martyr?
Jesus.
He was crucified. And Stephen, he was stoned. All because these three men stood for the faith, did not deny the faith, and died for the faith. And of course, so they were martyrs. Okay? And these churches here were established. And now they that were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phinehas. That would be Phinehas is over here. Phinehas and Tyre are the same in Bible geography. And Cyprus, which is over here. It's a whole other island. So Christians scattered there. Christians scattered from Jerusalem all over. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene. Cyprus and Cyrene being over here. I didn't put that in the map, but that's Egypt is here. Libya would be here, or northern Africa. And Cyrene would be from over here. And so men of Cyprus and Cyrene came over to Antioch and was preaching. Of course, they weren't preaching to the Gentiles. They just preached to the Jews. preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. Verse 20, and some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians. Then they started preaching to the Gentiles and to others in Antioch, Syria. So don't forget, this is Syria. This here is Syria. Syria. And Paul was a member of the church at Damascus in Syria. And there's another Antioch over here, but this is in Asia Minor, Antioch Pisidia. Okay, so two Antiochs. Don't get that confused. And preaching the Lord Jesus Christ, Acts chapter 11, verse 21. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. So people got saved, baptized, and added to the church at Antioch. They established a congregation, an assembly of baptized disciples. And the tidings of these things came into the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem. So the Jerusalem church, being one of the largest church in the Bible, it's the biggest church, they heard the good news that Antioch was establishing a church work there. The tidings, verse 22, then tidings of these things came into the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch. So they sent Barnabas to see if this was a legitimate church plant or church happening. Was it so? And yes, of course, Barnabas found out it was true. And verse 23, Acts 11, verse 23, who when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart that they would cleave unto the Lord. So they would cleave unto the Lord, continue hanging on, holding on to the Lord. For he was a good man, verse 24, talking about Barnabas, he was a good man, full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. Now that's how Luke put it, but really much people was added unto the church here in Antioch. But of course Luke put it the way he put it, as added unto the Lord. Now, let's see here. Okay, and then verse 25, then departed Barnabas to Tarsus. So he crossed over to Cilicia, unto the town or the city of Tarsus, to look for Saul. Okay, so he knew that Saul, brother Saul, was ministering over here in Tarsus for 10 years. Saul was silent. This was Paul's silent ministry. 10 years in Tarsus. I don't believe he just stayed there and did nothing in the church. I believe he was a worker at a church in Tarsus and planted churches, probably some house churches around here in the Cilicia area. And Barnabas sought for Saul. And verse number 25, then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. Verse 26, and when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. So Barnabas brought Saul to Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church. That's a funny wording. They assembled themselves with the assembly. Okay. They churched with the church for a whole year, if I could say it like that. They assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. So they were known as saints, they were known as brethren, they were known as disciples, they were known as church members. But the first time you hear the word Christian, Christian, is at Antioch when they were called Christians by the people of Syria. So the people of Syria observed their life and said, you know what? You guys are like your master, Jesus Christ. You're like little Christs. You're like little pictures of Jesus Christ. And that's what the word Christian means. So the word Christian means Christ-like, or little Christs, or Christ imitators. So, now question. Is this a local church? Yes, it's a local church. Where is it located? At Antioch, correct. Is this a visible church? Could they be seen? Yes, they could be seen. Are they organized? Did they have teachers and preachers and members? Yes, they did. Of course, Barnabas and Saul were spent an entire year teaching and preaching and discipling the church members there. And the church was edified, was growing. Is this church an assembly? Okay. Is it an assembly of just anybody? No, it was an assembly of baptized believers or baptized disciples. So this is a New Testament church at Antioch. Okay, so do you get that? Okay, so far we've seen church in Jerusalem. There's a church in Samaria, church in Galatia, churches of Galilee, actually, Galilee. Church in Damascus, Lydda, Joppa, Caesarea, Tyre, Cyprus, Antioch. Is there an invisible, universal, mystical body that can't be seen like a lot of people believe today? You know, the church. You know, I'm a member of the church because I'm saved. Okay, well, have you been baptized? No. You know, been baptized in the Holy Spirit, you know. We'll have to look at that doctrine some other time. But the Bible only knows of a local, visible, organized assembly of baptized disciples for a church. There is no such thing as an invisible, one mystical body of Christ that you become a member of. You know, you don't have a pastor. You don't have church members. You don't have an assembly. You're not going anywhere. You're not putting yourself under a... No, that is a made-up mystical church. That somebody made that up. That started with Plato. You know, a few hundred years before Jesus Christ came. And then, of course, other religious organizations latched on to that, and then they teach that. And then now today, evangelicalism, fundamentalism, some people that believe, religious leaders, they teach that. But when you look at the Bible, you don't find one universal mystical church. You find local, organized, visible assemblies of baptized disciples. Okay, you could see them. They have locations. Geography. Okay, it's there. Now, let's look at the strengths and weaknesses of the church at Antioch. So, are there strengths? Are there weaknesses? Let's look at one of the strengths of the church at Antioch is Acts chapter 11, verse 26. Their strength, is that right? Yeah, strength. At Antioch is that they were first called Christians. They were called Christians. That's a strength, you know. And that means they had a solid testimony. Their testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ was strong and solid. I'll call that a solid testimony. They had a solid testimony for the Lord. A solid testimony. No matter where they went, no matter what they did, when they assembled together, everybody knew that they belonged to Jesus Christ. That they were Christians. They were mimicking. They were like Jesus Christ in their love for one another, in their love for the Savior, in their sacrifice for one another. They were Christians. They were solid in their testimony. This is the church that sacrificed and gave to the church at Jerusalem. You know, they didn't have a lot of money, but they put some money together. When they heard that Jerusalem was hurting financially, they sent love gifts and sacrificial love gift to the church at Jerusalem. Look at Acts chapter 11, verse number 27. Acts chapter 11, verse 27. And in these days came prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch, and there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be great dearth throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea. That's this region here. This is Judea. South Israel is Judea. And the hearts of the capital of Judea is Jerusalem. And so the brethren in Antioch sent relief. Maybe food. Maybe money. Maybe preacher boys to help. Maybe people. You never know. You don't know. But one thing about this church is they were a giving church. Okay? Sacrificial giving. Official giving. A solid testimony. Sacrificial giving. Sacrificial love. And that's a good sign in the church. They were ascending church. Let me put that down. They were ascending church. Ascending church. Did you know that Paul and Barnabas and Silas and Timothy and Luke, all of them, especially Paul, did three missionary journeys from Antioch. Three international missionary journeys from Antioch. This church is a sending church. Boy, that's a strength. When you think about their solid testimony, you think about their sacrificial giving, you think about their missions mindedness, their sending. Oh, that's a strong church. Now, I don't think it's a, you know, maybe a large, maybe it is a large church, but one thing it is, it's a strong church. Now, what about their weakness? Do they have any weaknesses? Well, yes, they did. Look over in Acts chapter 15. Acts chapter 15 and verse number 1. And certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved. Wait a minute. Who are these men? The Bible says they came from Judea. These were men who used to be members at the church at Jerusalem. And they insisted that you have to follow the law of Moses in order to be saved. Now, is that the true gospel? Is that salvation by grace through faith alone in Christ? No, that's a totally different doctrine. But the church at Antioch allowed them to teach. So they didn't scream. They did not scream. They're speakers. They didn't screen their speakers. They just, hey, I'm from the church at Jerusalem. Oh, really? Well, come on over. Why don't you teach us something from the Word of God? And they began to teach and said, well, you have to follow the law of Moses in order to be saved. Now listen very carefully. Salvation has nothing to do with works. Salvation is by grace. By grace, through faith. Apart from works. Works has nothing to do with it. Jesus did all the work necessary for salvation. You can't work your way to salvation. You can't begin to pay for your own sins. If you had to pay for your own sins, you would be a failure. It would fail. You cannot improve on the finished work of Jesus Christ. He did all the work. Jesus paid it all. And all you have to do is receive Him. Trust Him. Rely on Him. Take Him as your Lord and Savior. Realizing you're a sinner, realizing you're on your way to hell, and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That is salvation. That is the gospel. Has nothing to do with, I'm trying my best, I'm doing my best. Your best cannot provide salvation. And so salvation is by grace through faith. Well, the church at Antioch, they were surprised when these men started saying, you have to follow the law of Moses to be saved. Look at verse number 2. Acts 15, verse number 2. When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension. Oh, no small dissension. That's a problem. No small dissension. Dissension. How do you spell that? No small dissension. Yeah. No small dissension. Meaning to say, it caused a stir in the church. Now let me tell you something. If you don't know your Bible doctrine, somebody's going to come and preach and teach the Word of God, and you're going to follow him. We don't believe in following everybody that preaches the Word. Just because they have a Bible doesn't mean they are teaching biblical truth. You have to make sure that you have a Bible, and you open your Bible, and you read the Bible, and you listen, is he speaking the truth of the Word of God? Because this caused no small dissension. You know what dissension means? Division. Division. Now that's a weakness in a church. Some of the church people said, whoa, we like the law of Moses. Yes, we need to continue doing the law of Moses in order to get saved. And some of the church people were saying, no, Paul taught us, Barnabas taught us, salvation by grace through faith. No works necessary. and the church divided, no small dissension, and disputation with them. Disputations, argument, fussing. Now let me ask you a question. Is a church strong when there's fussing going on the inside? No, that's a weakness. There should be no fussing in church. No fussing in the church. None. There should be unity. One Lord, one Spirit, one baptism. Unity, church unity. And here the false brethren from Judah came up and disturbed church unity. And I blame the pastor on that one, because the pastor is supposed to screen, and the pastor is supposed to doctrinally test and try the speaker before they could speak or preach. And so one thing we do in Tuktukan, every preacher that comes to visit us, they're not welcome to speak and preach, okay? Only those that follow the Bible. Only those that follow the Bible. So we get people come over to the church. I'm Pastor So-and-so. Well, hello, Pastor So-and-so. I'm glad you're here. Sit down and listen to the Word of God, you see. I'm not going to have you come up and preach, especially if you don't teach the same doctrine, the same Bible, the same philosophy, the same doctrinal unity of the Scriptures. You sit down and listen and be quiet, because if you teach something different, you're going to cause dissension and disputation. And I'm not going to allow that to happen. Now, if we know a good preacher, a good Bible preacher, man, they come over to our church, I'd love for them to come and teach and preach, as long as they follow the Bible, you see. That protects the flock. That protects the fold. All right? And so that's the weaknesses of the church. There is another weakness in Acts 15, verse number 39. Acts 15, 39. Sharp contention. Sharp contention. Sharp. Sharp contention. Well, Antioch, can't you do anything small, you know? Does your every argument have to blow up everything, you know? Well, apparently they do, and they wear that t-shirt. We can't get along with anybody. Church at Antioch. So, church at Antioch said here, verse Acts chapter 15, verse 39, and the contention, that's the argument, fussing, was so sharp between them. Between who? Between Paul and Barnabas. That they departed asunder. They decided to split. Don't ever say split in a Baptist church. I'm just kidding. I think their favorite dessert is ice cream split. A banana split. Splinter Baptist Church, you know. The church with a heart that will tear you apart. Anyway. But Paul, and they had to depart asunder one from another. And Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus and established the churches there, or confirmed the churches there. And Paul took Silas, being recommended by the brethren. They were sent from Antioch to confirm and establish churches and retrace the steps of the first missionary journey. So there you have strengths and weaknesses of the church at Antioch. And let's learn our lesson from them to avoid. Now, what does the Bible say when there's fussing? You know, the Bible has something to say about that. Look at Proverbs chapter 13. Proverbs chapter 13. Proverbs 13. Specifically about contention. Proverbs 13, verse number 10. Proverbs 13, verse 10. Only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. And so, where does contention come from, biblically speaking? Comes from pride. That's right, pride. So if you have pride in your heart, you're going to be contentious. You're going to be fussy if you have pride in your heart. Never wrong, can't be corrected, know everything, you know it all, you just argue and fuss. Pride, the Bible says. So it's possible that Paul and Barnabas had pride in their heart. That's why they had sharp contention. So who's sinless? Who's innocent? Nobody. Not according to the scriptures. They both had some level of pride. And let me tell you something. In a church, pride, proud, haughty spirit, unteachable spirit will destroy, will ruin a church. Sharp contention, pride. Oh, let's not do that. Let's not do that. All right, so we see the strengths. We rejoice in the strengths of the church at Antioch. And we're sorry for the weakness of the church at Antioch. Let's learn our lesson from that. And that's all the time I had. I wanted to cover the southern Galatian churches. They had some strengths and weaknesses too. We'll do that next week. Wanted to try that, but I can't get to it. We're just crawling our way through the New Testament churches here. But, you know, maybe the Lord, I know the Lord has a plan and a purpose for it. So let's pray and ask the Lord to bless us then. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for the truths of Scripture and how clear it is in the Bible. How important it is, Lord, to have a solid church and a sacrificial church that knows how to give, and to have a church that's sending, missions-minded church, wanting to reach out into other areas, Lord, accomplishing the great commission of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to disciple or teach all nations, every people group. Lord, we pray that you would bless us, Lord, with the truths that we learn about these strengths, Lord, of the Antioch church, and avoid contention and disputation and dissension and pride, and operate in the spirit of humility and love. Lord, we ask that you bless us now. In Jesus' name, amen.